Lord God, that you speak to us as well, Father God. And Lord, this morning I just want to come against any lies against who you are, Lord God, or your authority, or your church, Lord God, or your character, Father God. I know there's many forces, Lord God, that's trying to deceive people and alter our opinions or our views that we have on you, Lord. Thank you, Lord, that we can always go to Scripture and exactly see what the truth is, Lord, and what your word says, Lord God, and what Jesus has taught us, Father God. And Lord, I pray that the hearts will be open this morning to receive from you, Holy Spirit. We welcome you here, that you will do the ministry in our hearts, Lord, and that when we leave here, Father God, that church wouldn't just be a formality in our week, something that we just do, Lord God, but it will be something that changes our hearts and just make our flame burn strong again, Father God, for you and for what you want us to do, Lord God. In Jesus' name, amen. We talked last week, I ministered on prayer. I talked about Hannah, to pray like a Hannah. If you want to know a little bit more about that, you can get the CD from Scholar. This week I'm going to continue with prayer, and I think the next week or two we'll also still be talking about prayer, and we'll look at different aspects of that. I trust that most of you will believe in prayer. If there's anyone doubting at this stage, you can ask me afterwards about the testimonies we already had this year through praying together. And I want to encourage all of us, including me, that we pray more for our church, for each other, our leaders, our president, your families, your kids, people that still need to come to God. That's really something that is on our shoulders and something we should really work on. Just a little bit catching up of last week, I talked about communication with God, and there we looked at Jonah, and then also we looked at communion with God, where there's that exchange when we pray. This, you know, when we have communion, there's something that's happening there. So it's not only just communication, it's also communion. I talked a little bit about co-working, you know, through prayer, that we yoke together with Jesus Christ in fulfilling his plans, where we can partner with God. We looked in 1 Kings, we had to look at Elijah, where he was praying, you know, where I said it was so wonderful, where we can see in Scripture that, you know, when God is omnipotent, you know, he's wonderful, and he can just do something, but he uses the prayer of normal people like me and you to move and to do things in his kingdom. You see, because when Elijah said, when he prayed that the rain would stop, it stopped. And afterwards, when he said, let the rain come, you know, he was in that birthing position, and he prayed, and every time he sent his servant to go and have a look if he can see a cloud yet, and the first few times there was nothing, and I think the seventh time there was a little grey cloud moving, and then a bit later we know that it really poured, like it does many days, many times here in Windhoek in the last 3 months. Now, I got a few quotes that I just want to share with us, and I really want it to minister to us. If you want to know something about golf, then you will speak to Tiger Woods. Now, am I allowed to make this joke or not? I'll look at your faces. You know, if you want to know something about rugby, you talk to the Stormers, not the Bulls, my guys. Okay. Hope I'm not going to lose a few people on that one. But you know, there's different experts in different fields in the world. So if you want to know something about doing woodwork or about shooting or about this or that, you will go and speak to a specialist on that field. You will not go to come to me if you want to know something about golf. You will definitely go to Ernie Els or a Tiger Woods or one of those people. Now, similar, if you want to know something about... Oscar, can we help you? We are really busy now. Please sit down. If you want to know something about church, if you want to know something about the gospel, you will go to Scripture, or you'll really go and have a look at the mighty man of God and the woman of God, who really are the people that know something about this. So I want these quotes to minister to us this morning. I really believe it's significant. So I've got about 5 or 6. Maybe you can write down 1 or 2 of these if it's really inspiring to you. The first one is from our friend Martin Luther. And he said, if I fail to spend 2 hours in prayer each morning, the devil gets the victory through the day. I have so much business, I cannot get on without spending 3 hours daily in prayer. And I think for us in the Western society, especially, that will be a real challenge. I must bring it before you. I don't pray 3 hours a day. I don't know how many of you do, but it's something, there's a principle in this. You know, that many times we think we are really busy and we don't have time, and then we neglect something like prayer. But Martin Luther said, if I have a busy day and a lot of things that I need to do, I need to spend a lot of time in prayer. Then another one I really think is very significant. Satan does not care how many people read about prayer, if only he can keep them from praying. Okay? So I'm going to talk about prayer this week. I did last week, and about for another week or two. But if you can leave without praying more or stronger or understanding it better, then the devil will be happy. If you can leave here and understand more about prayer and, you know, pray more, then the devil will not like it. So you know what you are supposed to do. Then thirdly, don't pray when you feel like it. Have an appointment with the Lord and keep it. A man is powerful on his knees. Corrie ten Boom. Okay? So many times, you know, when the trouble comes, we are quickly to go down on our knees. Now we pray. You write the exam. You go for your license, you know, your driver's license or something. Now we intercede very big. And then when it's finished, you know, then we relax again. And then we pray when the next need come. But I think it's a very good tip for a lot of us to really have an appointment with God to pray. I'm going to talk a little bit later on about what Paul taught us on this topic. But have an appointment with the Lord, especially early in the morning. Make time, schedule it. You know, then you know you have that time slot to go and speak to God and to pray for people. Charles Spurgeon, a big evangelist, said, I would rather teach one man to pray than 10 men to preach. I'd rather teach one man to pray than 10 men to teach or to preach. Okay, so many times we think it's the guys that stand there and do the talking and you know, preach the gospel. But he says it's really important that we pray as well. And then the next quote is linked to that, and that is something that I shared on intercession on Tuesday morning as well. It's Reinhard Bonnke said, evangelism without intercession is like a bomb without a detonator. Intercession without evangelism is like a detonator without a bomb. Okay? So we need both. You need the bomb and you need the detonator. Okay? It's like almost, it's good to clean your rifle and to give it oil and all that stuff and prepare it. But if you don't have a bullet to shoot with, it's not going to help a lot. Otherwise, if you have the bullet in your pocket and no rifle as well, it's not going to have a big effect. Okay? Not that we're going to shoot anyone today. Oscar, we still love you, right? It's just a... Okay, the man who mobilizes the Christian church to pray will make the greatest contribution to the world evangelizing in history. You know, so if we can be a praying church, you know, Jesus said, my house must be a house of prayer. If we can pray, if we can click this thing this morning, because I know just from being human and normal that many times we don't really pray a lot. If I were to ask you, just because I've been in ministry now for a long time and I'm just a normal citizen as well, how many of you people, of us, pray more than 25, 30 minutes a day? I think it won't be a lot of us, okay? But still we have many challenges and actually many things and people that we must bring before God. Do you agree with me this morning? It's something really powerful. It's just not just another topic. Jesus prayed. We should really make this our own. And the best one I kept for last, of course. If the church wants a better pastor, it only needs to pray for the one it has. Can I have an amen, please? Okay. But there's a truth in that. That's why I'm sharing all. It's not just nice quotes. There's something I want us all to learn from that. So if you want a better pastor, pray for your pastor. Okay? If you want a better husband, pray for your husband. If you want your children to be more obedient or more this or that, pray for them. If you want your boss's attitude to change, then pray for him. We're going to see just now that people's attitudes, people's the way they think can really change by prayer, and it's something that we need to believe. So many times we want to, you know, people will sit in front of you or you'll talk to people and the one person will say, you are doing this and I'm doing that, and a bit of a fight. But rather pray for someone's attitude or heart to change. You're going to have a lot more happening in that. And then lastly, God isn't as much interested in the word we pray than the heart that we pray from. And that was what I preached about almost last week about Hannah. You know, she was broken before the Lord. She so desperately wanted a boy, and she prayed, and then God moved with her. You know, actually, at the end of her life, I think she had 6 children, okay? But earlier it says her womb was closed, okay? So through her prayer and really coming before God and speaking to Him and trusting Him and interceding, you know, God really did something in her life. So I've got a few ideas at this stage in my mind and in my heart and spirit, how we're going to walk through the next few weeks concerning prayer. This week, I just want to, we're going to continue. So it's such a big doctrine that we cannot just spend a week or two on this topic. We really have to spend some really quality time on this. So I ask you, how much should we pray? And Scripture gives us here two answers. And the one is from 1 Thessalonians 5, from verse 12 to 18. But we request of you, brethren, that you appreciate those who diligently labor among you and have charge over you in the Lord and give you instruction, and that you esteem them very high in love because of their work. Live in peace with one another. We urge you, brethren, admonish the unruly, encourage the faint-hearted, help the weak, be patient with everyone. See that no one repays one another with evil for evil, but always seek after which is good for one another and for all people. Rejoice always. Pray without ceasing. In everything give thanks, for this is God's will for you in Jesus Christ. So it says pray without ceasing. Okay, so if we're just gonna stand a little bit still, you know, it's not practical to pray the whole day 24/7. You know, sometimes you will be at work, there will be something that you really be focused on, and for that one moment, you cannot pray. But if Paul is here talking about when he's writing and he says, pray without ceasing, it means that when we close our eyes, it must almost be like a default for you to go, oh Lord, oh Jesus, you know, that should be this almost second nature to us, how to go to the Lord and speak to Him, you know. For all the challenges we have, that we can really be at a place where it isn't just something that happens at 6 o'clock in the morning for 20 minutes, where you pray and you trust God for protection and provision and things like that. Right throughout your day, you know, many times I really like to pray when I drive. It's something that just works for me. My little Bucky don't have a radio in it, so it even works better. Okay, but many times we should shut down all the voices, all the things around us, and just spend time with God and pray for our families, our nation, our president, for there's so many things that we need to pray for our families as well. So firstly, when you pray a lot, there's a place where we really depend on God, where we really trust Him. You know, if you could do everything in your own strength or power or will, then it wouldn't have been necessary to pray. But when you have a praying spirit, I almost want to say, then you are conditioned to know that you are dependent on God. You can't save someone. You can't make a miracle happen in your own life. You can't always provide for yourself. But if you have that heart to go, oh Lord, then you know where your provision is coming from. Then secondly, you know, it just means, I think, to pray without ceasing means to pray as often as possible. To just keep on praying as many times as you have. I remember for about 2 years when I was still living in South Africa at the Belvoir Park campus, working there, you know, at lunchtime, you know, that wasn't such a beautiful place like we have here in Windhoek. Ening knows especially, he will laugh when I say I'm the biggest Namibian fan of Namibia. Yeah, I really love this country and this city. But I went there and I looked at all the city there, and I really didn't like it that much. But I really went to a place and stood there on the hill and I was just praying. I enjoyed it so much, just to pray for the small group that I'm in, to pray for many things. Okay? And it's really a blessing that keep on praying. And then thirdly, I believe that pray without ceasing means many times, and I know there will be testimonies from your side, that sometimes we pray for something for a week or a month or a year and it doesn't happen. Maybe you have been praying for your husband or your wife for a long time and there's just nothing on the horizon. Or you're praying for someone, your brother or sister's salvation, but it just seemed not to happen. Guys, we should keep on praying without ceasing. If something doesn't happen, it doesn't mean God said no. Maybe it's just His timing is different. And His timing will also always be perfect. But we should keep on praying. Now I want us to look in Romans. I'm going to read two different translations to you that we just really get what Paul is writing here. And it's Paul who's writing to the citizens in Rome, the church in Rome, and he's asking them to pray with him, you know. So it doesn't mean he's just praying on his own. He's asking the church there to pray with him. And let's see what he says here. The New King James Version put it this way. Now I beg you, brethren, through the Lord Jesus Christ and through the love of the Spirit, that you strive together with me in prayers to God for me. One, that I may be delivered from those in Judea who do not believe, and that my service for Jerusalem may be acceptable to the saints. And then I just want to read it from the Amplified Bible as well. I appeal to you, I entreat you, brethren, for the sake of our Lord Jesus Christ and by the love given by the Spirit, to unite with me in earnest wrestling and in prayer to God on my behalf. Pray that I may be delivered or rescued from the unbelievers in Judea, and that my mission of relief to Jerusalem may be acceptable and graciously received by the saints, by God's people there. So he's asking them for two requests. He's giving two requests. And the first one is that he knows those guys in Judea. They are hostile. He's fearing for his life. He's scared. You know, Paul has been many times beaten and shipwrecked and almost, well, he was stoned one time to death. But we know through God's mercy and calling upon his life, he made it. But he knows what it is what it's like to be beaten by a mob, an angry mob. I don't know how many of you have looked at those DVDs from the Bible time when 50 people are like animals with sticks and kicking you. It's really not a nice thing. So he's praying here to ask the church to pray with him, to agree with him, the church almost 2,000 kilometers away, to rescue him. And secondly, that when he goes to Jerusalem, you know, that he will be accepted there. You know, what's the worst thing? If I'm standing here and preaching and 90% of you would walk out, it would really break your pastor's heart. You know, it would really be not a nice thing. And that's the same thing that Paul says. Obviously, his mission there is, he knows what ministry he wants to do there. He knows the gospel that he wants to speak there or preach there. And he's really trusting that he will be accepted, you know. And he's asking for the saints to pray with him. Okay? Now, Jesus Christ hang on the cross for our sins, for our reconciliation to God. But very importantly, also he did it in obedience to glorify God. To glorify God. And you know, we're going to see now here that through our prayers, you know, God is also glorified. If, say for instance, Gustav, when Maritza phones him and asks Gustav to please pick me up at the post office and take me home, okay, then it's something. But say I phone him, Maritza phone him, and Gustav and Alvin and Ulrika, and all of them asked him to do the same thing. I'm not sure if this English is making sense, but I'm just going to be as much picked up when I'm phoning him than all of them are phoning him. Do you get what I'm saying? Okay? So what it actually means in a few other words is that when Paul is praying, I mean, it's the Apostle Paul. Why does he need other people to help him pray? Why do we come here on a Tuesday morning, 6:15, to intercede, to agree, to pray? You know, I think Paul was maybe one of the people that walked the face of the earth that really know God quite well. He understand all the doctrines. He wrote most of it. He was really a man that heard the voice of God and the Holy Spirit says leading and guiding. So why does he ask more people to help him pray? You know, it's something that I didn't know, but then I went to read about it, and there's a solution to that question, you know. And it's actually the more people, because God can move anything, God can do anything. Matthew Henry, let me put it, he put it so in such a nice way. Matthew Henry, about 350 years ago, he said, "As God must be sought unto for the restraining of the ill will of our enemies, so also for the persevering and increasing of the goodwill of our friends. For God has the hearts, both of the one and the other, in his hands. We know that our friends, the people we have favor with, and our enemies, that God has their hearts in his hand. God can turn a heart. You know, we see from Scripture, just right in the start or beginning of Scripture, that Scripture says God made the heart of Pharaoh hard. You know, it was to prove a point. God wasn't known throughout the world at that stage. People didn't know God. And through everything that happened with Moses and the Israelites in that time, God was glorified, because every time God rescued the people. You know, but if it was just like God sending a, like in a Hollywood movie, like a 007 agent, they kill the Pharaoh and the people can go, it wouldn't be as glorious. Now you see, when all of us come together, when all of us come together and we pray, let's say we pray for rain and we really trust, you know, what are you going to do when it starts to rain? You're going to glorify God. When you trust someone when you trust God for someone's salvation, you know, and that person come to church or born again, you know, you are really going to rejoice. For instance, if someone gives you 10 million Namibian dollars, you are going to be really blessed. You're going to have a big smile. Say, I give it to you. Then you're going to say, tell me probably a few times, thank you. Now, you see, if I hand out a lot of 10 million dollars, then a lot of people will come to me and say, thank you. Do you understand what I mean? Okay? So the more people that is trusting for something, that's asking God to move, the more God will be glorified, because it's about the glory of God. Okay, obviously, there's a reason that God will change people's hearts. We will see two examples just now. So let's see in 2 Corinthians 1 from verse 10 to 11. Let me just see, I'm jumping the gun a little bit. And God will yet deliver us. You also joining in helping us through your prayers, that thanks may be given by many persons on behalf for the favor bestowed upon us through the prayers of many. I'm going to read it again. But that's the point I was just making. Through the prayers of many. Let me read it once again. And God will deliver, and God will yet deliver us. You also joining in helping us through your prayers, that thanks may be given by many persons on our behalf for the favor bestowed upon us through the prayers of many. Okay? So we know that the more people intercede, the more people trust, you know, the more people will go to God afterwards and say, praise God, hallelujah, thank you, Lord. Because when we go to God, there's a place where we can make requests, where we can ask God, like for protection. But there's also a place where we can pray for things to be birthed, as I shared last week. And next week, you know, I will probably look at, there was a very nice prayer that Jesus taught us how exactly to pray. And there's a lot that have been written about it, and we're going to look to that, what Jesus said, if you want to pray, pray this way. Because all the answers we need in prayer is in there, but we're going to look at it next week. Otherwise, it's going to be a long morning, which is not necessarily bad. Okay, and just to link that, what I just read to you, I want to link that with John 14, verse 13. And whatever you ask in my name, that will I do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. The aim of prayer is that the Father be glorified through Jesus Christ. Okay, so that is one of the big things I really didn't think of earlier in my life when I just prayed, you know. Obviously, when God came through for me, as we usually say, you know, I worshiped God and I thank God and I said, thank you, Lord, for this or for that. But keep it in mind, you know, because one day in eternity, what are we going to do? We're going to worship an awesome God. We're going to see His glory. Okay? So everything we do, I'm standing here, and before I preach this morning, I ask God, Lord, let you be glorified. Use all my little mistakes and errors and things, but at least just that you be glorified. So that is something of the heart of prayer that we should understand. Now, just to come back a little bit, there was those two requests that Paul was giving the people to pray with him, to agree with him. First one, that the guys in Judea won't kill him. And secondly, when he goes to Jerusalem, that the people will accept him there. Now, just that's the wonderful thing about Scripture. We can always go and look for an answer. There's always an answer. You'll never, you remember when Pastor Henny Swart was here, you could ask him anything and it always makes sense. Okay, because he really knows Scripture. Now, if you want to know and see, Paul was writing here to the church in Rome. So what actually happened? There he was praying, but now let's go and find in Acts. We can see the answer to the prayers that he requested the saints on. Let's read in Acts 21, verse 30. And all the city was aroused, and the people rushed together, and taking hold of Paul, they dragged him out of the temple, and immediately the doors was shut. Okay? And then in verse 31, and while they were seeking to kill him, a report came up to the commander of Rome, of the Roman cohort, that all Jerusalem was in confusion, and that at once he took along some soldiers and centurions and ran down with him. Okay, so there we can see, actually I'm going to break it up a little bit, there's the solution, you know. So he came there, the guys actually got hold of him, and just before, short of killing Paul, you know, the people stopped. Why did they stop? Someone, and now this is where we need to trust God, where we need to have faith. Someone, seeing what was happening there, must have thought, this is a bad thing happening. He must have run to the Roman soldier centurion there in charge. He must have told him what is happening. You know, so God must have influenced that person's heart. It must have been someone that's running to that person. The Roman centurion must have thought, like, okay, this is not a false report. Let's go and see what's happening there. And when they came to almost this crime scene, you know, the mob stopped. You know, they stopped beating Paul. Okay? So what? That's the answer to Paul's prayer. He wasn't killed. You know, his ministry could go on. Because there was a truth in it, you know. He knew that he was sent there with a purpose to preach the gospel. So there's the solution that we can see. Paul was really, he was really saved. And then in that same place, just a little bit on in chapter 23, we see the same thing that was happening. There was, I think, about 40 Jews, and they came together and they said, we're going to make an oath, we're going to agree on something, we're not going to eat before Paul is killed. That's not our friend, the Paul, sitting there, fortunately. But they came together in a very, very, and you know, when evil powers agree, you know, there's a lot of power in that as well. When you go to Cape Town another for a change, or when you ever go visit there for holiday, go and ask someone where Cecil John Rhodes' memorial is there at Cape Town. Daar in die hange van Mooi Tafelberg. And then you go and see what's all the things written there. And it's actually a covenant with darkness to plunder and exploit Africa. That was the covenant that was made there. When at the previous pastor summit we went there, some people had really a lot of information, and we just pray there and speak life. Because in the darkness things can also agree, you know, and it also have a lot of power. Okay, so these guys came, Paul was in jail at that stage, and they make covenant, they will not eat again before Paul is dead. Now, if you go home today and you know there's 40 guys out there waiting and they are so serious about killing you, it's not a good place to be. Amen. Okay, so here again, God was moving mightily. The saints had done their praying, and Paul's nephew actually overheard this conversation of these evil men making this agreement. He came to Paul, he told him about it. Paul said, listen, I'm going to send you to the chief centurion, the Roman officer in charge. The guy listened to it, and then he summoned, I think, 200 soldiers, and there was, I think, 70 horsemen and 200 spearmen. Okay, so there was now a lot of strong Roman soldiers to protect God. Not Roman soldiers to protect God. God sent Roman soldiers, he used the Roman soldiers to protect Paul. Okay? But the wonderful thing is, when that young boy, Paul's nephew, went to the Roman officer in charge, he could just have said, ach no, it's just another rumor, you know, the Jews are like that, it's not a big issue. But you know, God moved in their hearts. Those people, I don't know exactly what they prayed, but they probably prayed and fasted and really took it serious. Scripture is having this story that we can learn from it. So the message for us from this is that God, when we trust people to really turn their hearts or for something to happen, okay, we can see from Scripture that in this circumstances that God really did move. And God really did protect Paul. There was two big assaults in his life, but it didn't hinder the ministry from taking place. And they, therefore, I'm sure those people, I'm not sure how big the church in Rome was, but I'm sure those people were saying, hallelujah, praise God, Paul accomplished this mission. And then for the second one, according to his ministry in Jerusalem, we can also go and read in Acts 21, verse 17 to 20, and to see what was happening there. And when we had come to Jerusalem, the brethren received us gladly. And now the following day, Paul went in with us to James, and all the elders were present. And after they had greeted them, he began to relate one by one the things which God had done among the Gentiles through his ministry. And when they heard it, they began glorifying God. Okay, there was good grounds for Paul to believe that his testimony there wouldn't be accepted. That his ministry to the Gentiles, the people will not accept it. They will say, Paul, you're making a mistake. You should go to the Jews first. And we know Paul was called to preach the gospel to the Gentiles, the good news to them. But here we can see, in Romans, Paul was asking the people, please pray with me. And there the testimony is. I can just hear the hallelujahs going up, that the people is accepting Paul and what he was sharing. Now guys, for all of us, this is a message for us. You know, I love that scripture in 2 Timothy 3:16 where it says that all scripture is good for teaching and doctrines and rebuke and you know what, that scripture. So we could learn from this. We can see from this that where the saints came together and they interceded, they trusted together, they prayed for something, that God did move. I think when Paul was laying there in the dust and the people was kicking him and, you know, really hurting him, I think he must have thought for a second, well, God, maybe this is going to be the end. Maybe you want me close to you. This is it now. Okay? But God had a testimony for Paul there. He had a reason. He listened to those prayers. And as I said, now, those people would be glorifying God. And that is what God wants. When you do something wonderful, or you break a record while you're at school, or you achieve academically, then you mustn't do this, say, wow, I'm the man. Huh? We shouldn't do that. When we accomplish something, we should glorify God, because He gives us the abilities and the skills to do many things. Amen. So that's something that I really want, that I really wanted to share with you, and I believe that is what God has showed me. So the challenge that I want to hold before us today, I prayed it as well because I felt it strongly in my heart this morning, that we know, I've shared it now a few times, there's an assault on God, you know, in the times we live in, through evolution and through many things. There's many things that's attacking the church of Jesus Christ and what it was called for, God's authority, and we can go on and on. There's many things. But guys, it's so important that we don't pray those prayers that I pray when I was in primary school, that, Lord God, please, I want to have a nice day and the sun must shine and things like that. It's important that we really have our hearts and our spirits in line. That when we come together, you would know, many of you would have received SMSs in the past month where someone in church came to me and said, listen, we have to trust for Saunders' brother, or we need to pray for this person or for that person. And then I said, guys, please agree with me. You know, I checked it, that the Roman church was about 2,000 kilometers away from Paul at that stage. So when we stand together and take hands and pray, it's powerful. But just in your working day, where you are, where you're driving, what's happening, you can just agree with someone, Lord, we trust for that person for a job or for that person's health. And we can see from this that God will answer our prayers. It always echoes in my heart. Many of you would have seen, by the way, how many of you have seen Faith Like Potatoes, that movie from Angus Buchan? A lot of you. You know, where he was standing there in the forgive me, I almost said the Shark Tank, in King's Park, the rugby stadium, and all the people were sitting there, and he said, if we humble ourselves and pray, you know, God will come and He will heal the land. And that is something that we should live from. We all have needs, we all have challenges. Many people out there think that it's worth praying. Maybe it's okay, let's give it a shot, maybe try, let's maybe it will work for us. But I'm sure if we were to speak to Paul right now, or to Hannah, you know, they would encourage us so much. And obviously scripture is full of testimonies of people that prayed, and the results were there. So I want to encourage us all that we should pray without ceasing, you know, and that we should live from a place where we know that we're not maybe like a shotgun. We're going to take a chance when we pray, and we're going to pray and give 10 requests, and maybe God will answer 2 or 3, and then we are lucky. Let's not pray in that way. Let's pray in this way, because Paul's life and his ministry was depending on it. It was really something important and sincere. So I trust, guys, that we will not live from a place where we know a lot about prayer but not pray, because that was that one quote that I read to you. Or that we should understand that preaching the gospel is important, but it's just as important to pray and to intercede, that we can have the bomb and the detonator, not just for the church, but in our own personal lives, that you can have the rifle and the ammunition. So can I ask you guys to stand with me this morning, please? And I just believe we should just pray a little bit this morning, just to end off with as well. You know, on Thursday morning, on Thursday afternoon, I submitted our request where we could buy that property in Auersbleek for the church building. Okay, so I felt I heard God said a week or two before it's going to be a battle. So I really want to ask you. I spoke to a lot of you already, and many of you are really excited about it, and we had already a wonderful word that our friend Roderick has brought us. But I want to ask you, let's pray for that. Let's intercede for that. Let's trust together that nothing will go wrong, that place is what God has for us, that it will be a blessing for us, and not just to say, great, we have a nice or a new church according to our style or this or that, but it can be a place where God can where we can reach this nation, you know, that we can really live out what I believe God has called us for. Guys, I want to ask you this morning, you all know what in your life, in your family, with your family, your family at work, in church, you all know what we can pray for. And while Harry is just going to play on the keyboard, I wanna ask you, I was just going to give us a few minutes, that we can just pray a little bit. You know, we can pray for a long time, but just be quiet for a while, and the first thing that comes to your heart, in your spirit, then you pray for that thing. And as the week is starting, as Corrie Boom has said, don't just pray when you need to pray. Obviously we should pray the whole time, but make an appointment with God. Get to a place where you make time to have an appointment with God and pray. Maybe not 2 or 3 hours for starters like Martin Luther, but go on your knees and pray. We will really see the results of that. So I'm just going to be quiet now, and I'm going to ask you to whatever comes in your heart in the next minute or two, or for a few minutes, let's just pray that. Let's just trust God for that. end off this morning by reading a psalm to you. Can you all just keep your eyes closed as I'm going to read it to you, and just remain in this attitude. If you maybe lack maybe inspirations, maybe you wake up in the morning and you feel like, I don't even have the strength to pray, I just feel so discouraged, go to the psalms and look what the psalmist prayed. I want to end off by reading to you from Psalm 119, from verse 33. And this was a prayer by the psalmist. And it says, "Teach me, O Lord, the way of your statutes, and I will keep it to the end. Give me understanding, that I may keep your law and observe it with my whole heart. Lead me in the path of your commandments, for I delight in it. Incline my heart to your testimonies, and not to selfish gain. Turn my eyes from looking at worthless things, and give me life in your ways. Confirm to your servant your promise, that you may be feared. Turn away from the reproach that I dread, for your rules are good. Behold, I long for your precepts. In your righteousness, give me life." Father God, I want to pray, Lord, and I want to ask, Father God, that you'll bless us in your prayer life, Lord. We want to thank you for the Holy Spirit that will guide us and lead us in our prayers, Lord. That we will not pray selfish prayers, Lord God. That we can pray for our nation and our friends and our family, the people we work with, for our church, Lord God. I trust, Lord, that you'll lay it in our hearts, Lord. And in this next week, Lord, and for the rest of this day, Father, that we will have a heart and a spirit, Lord, that says that we want to pray without ceasing, Lord God, that we want to keep on praying as we are driving, as we are walking, before we go to bed at night, when we wake up in the morning, Father God, that it will be natural to us to go and to say, "Oh my Lord, oh my God," that we can pray, Father God, that we can bring our thanks and yes, Lord, and everything that is in our hearts, that we can bring it before you. Thank you, Lord, that we know that we are communicating with you and that you will want to talk to us back, Father God. I just want to break that lie in Jesus' name, that people, when people think or the devil tell them that they cannot hear God's voice, I trust, Lord, that we will hear your crisp, still and soft voice, that we will hear it day by day, and that we will hear that voice like in Isaiah, Lord, that says that I will be behind you, and I will tell you whether to turn left or to turn right. Lord, I pray that you'll bless us in this, Father God. And thank you, Lord, that I know that I can say this morning from Scripture, Lord, that we can expect results when we pray, Lord. We know that your timing is perfect. And Father, I pray that your Holy Spirit, and that we will encourage each other to pray, Lord, to keep on praying and not to give up hope, Lord, for that person maybe, or for that situation at home, that we'll keep on praying, Father God. And Lord, when you move and when things are established, Father, that we can go on our knees and that we can lift our hands and we can glorify you, because all the glory belongs to you. In Jesus' name, amen. Okay, friends, there will be something to drink at the back, coffee and some juice. And please spend some time with us. If there's any of you that feel in your heart this morning, you need prayer, or you want to just share anything, I'll be here in the front. There will be some other people. So I want to invite you, if you want to pray and agree, please do so. For the rest of you guys, thank you for being here. Enjoy your long weekend if you're going away. And be blessed.